people would say, people say, well, Mark, you know, I want to be a speaker. I want to be an author. I want to be invited to this board. And I said, well, to do that, you really have to be known. And they said, well, how do you become known? I said, I don't know. And I asked one of my sort of famous friends, can anybody become known? And the guy said, I don't know, but I'd pay good money to find out. I thought that would make a good book.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here today with Mark Schaefer. Mark, what's up? How are you?
Ben, I'm delighted to be here with you. Coming to you semi-live. recorded from Tennessee.
Recorded from Tennessee. And one thing, once in a while, like the internet will explode, or I got stuff in my eyeball and I kind of wish I could edit that part out. But this is basically live. It's meant to be a real organic conversation. And to give the audience a little bit of context for Mark, more context than necessary, when I put together a bio, I generally try to cut like 80% of it. But in this scenario, I was only able to cut like 2% of the fat because Mark's list of accomplishments is incredible. So bear it with us here. If you don't know Mark, I want to introduce him and then we'll get into the really sweet stuff. Mark Schaefer, it's Schaefer, right? Or am I pronouncing that wrong? Mark Schaefer is a globally recognized keynote speaker, futurist, business consultant, and author. Mark has worked in global sales, PR, and marketing for more than 30 years. Mark studied under Peter Drucker for 3 years and has advanced degrees in marketing and organizational development. His blog and podcast, The Marketing Companion, are at the top of the charts in the marketing field. Great blog, great podcast. His clients range from successful startups to global brands like Adidas, Johnson & Johnson, Dell, Pfizer, the U.S. Air Force, and the U.K. government. Best-selling author of 10 pathfinding books, including the first book ever written on influence marketing. His books have been used as textbooks at more than 50 universities, have been translated into 15 languages, and found in more than 750 libraries worldwide. Mark is also a popular commentator, has appeared on national television shows and periodicals, including The Wall Street Journal, Wired, the New York Times, CNN, National Public Radio, CNBC, the BBC, and CBS News. Not to mention, he is a contributing columnist to the Harvard Business Review and Entrepreneur Magazine. That was a mouthful, man. Is this real life? Do you ever feel like you got to pinch yourself?
I'd like to thank the Academy for this award. That was a great intro. Thank you. You know, that's a good question. You know, when I look, when I started my own business, I worked in the corporate world for a long time. And when I started my own business, I didn't have a goal of being known and writing books and, you know, being in the national media. I just was sort of focused on creating consistent content and creating value to my audience. And, you know, the whole thing sort of exploded. So it wasn't necessarily a plan, but I've been very, very fortunate to find a tribe of people out there that believe in me and love to hear what I have to say.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about tribes of people, and we'll talk about the story behind the story, and then we'll get into it. But specifically, guys, why I asked Mark to come on the show is belonging to the brand, why community is the last great marketing strategy. I just read his latest book, all about community building. And transparently, I wanted to learn more because Mark's brilliant, and I know that you can learn a lot from him too. So we'll get into tribes, community strategy, why it's the last great marketing strategy, but let's go back to kind of what you just prefaced. So you just sort of got started creating content, trying to add value. Talk a little bit about that come up process. Can you recall when you started to create community-based content, why you did it? You said there wasn't really a plan. Tell us, what was that first move? What was the starting move?
Well, that's great. And it's so like everybody in the early days of social media and the internet, this presented an opportunity for anyone to be known in the world. I mean, it just changed everything, because before the internet, the power in this world was in the national media, newspaper editors, advertising agency executives. How would anybody have a global influence in this world? So the internet democratized influence. Now, how do you actually activate that? In the early days, we all just stumbled around. And it was 2016, I think. I got curious about this because I do consulting. I do business coaching. And people say, well, Mark, you know, I want to be a speaker. I want to be an author. I want to be invited to this board. And I said, well, to do that, you really have to be known. And they said, well, how do you become known? I said, I don't know. And I asked one of my sort of famous friends, can anybody become known? And the guy said, I don't know, but I'd pay good money to find out. I thought, that would make a good book. So I went on this, it was an obsession to try to figure this out. Because, Ben, what I found out was there wasn't any good advice out there. The advice on how do you become known, here's what it was. If you can believe it, you can be it. If you can dream it, you can manifest it. That's not how the world works. You know, I wanted to know, what's the plan? How do you plot this out?
That is my plan, to manifest it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for you. I honor that, Ben. But that just doesn't work for me. And I don't think it would work for most business people. If you're going to spend a lot of time on this, give yourself the best chance. So this research ended up with my book, Known. This is a long way to answer your question. How did you get there? So to become known in the digital age, you do four things. And what I found out is that everybody does these same four things, and there's no exception. And I did those same four things too, but I didn't put it together in my mind. I stumbled through it and fumbled through it and failed and experimented. And I wish someone would have told me, you do these four things. And so this book has really helped a lot of people. The first thing is to get really clear on what you want to be known for, which could be your passion, but maybe not. What you want to be known for something, and you want to devote yourself to a topic that I call it creating your sustainable interest. Interest is important. You have to love it. May not be your passion, but sustainable, because is there an audience out there big enough to help you make your dreams come true. All right. Now, the next step is, all right, this is what I want to be known for. So where do I want to be known? Where is the place I need to show up? So you do a little research. Do I want to dominate on LinkedIn, on Facebook, to a podcast? You know, really what? So you have to figure out where am I going to tell my story? Where is this audience that I can impact? And then the third thing is you have to create content consistently. And this is really, when I wrote the book, we didn't have AI and things like ChatGPT. And I think this process is more important than ever, Ben, because now everybody can create content and everybody can be a competent writer, but that doesn't really mean you're going to be known. You still have to add your own narrative, your own personal story, because you need, the only thing that's going to save us in this world from AI disrupting our skill sets and our jobs is the emotional connection we have with the audience. That means writing a blog post better than ChatGPT can. That means adding your own perspective, your insights, your narrative, your humor, your personality. All right. So that's step three.
Mark, we might talk about that a little bit more later, but I'm sure. Just like massive exclamation point on that. I was joking the other day that I could go into ChatGPT and have it write a blog post on four ways to create community, but it won't have the case studies. It won't have the personality. It won't have the storytelling. It won't have the emotional. Maybe one day it will, but right now. Yeah. And that's why after we get through the fourth thing, we'll talk about a case study or an example. ChatGPT and AI it isn't Mark. It doesn't have Mark's experience. It doesn't have your experience, your emotion, your influence, your personality. That's irreplaceable. So I want to put an exclamation point on that. And if you'd like, we can move on to number four.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'd be glad to dive into that. I've been talking a lot about that idea a lot lately. Then the last one is you need, and this maybe this will sort of lead into the rest of our conversation.
Sure.
You need to work on your audience and ultimately perhaps turn that into a community. And an audience is different from a list of customers or a group of social media followers. You need a group of people that you can activate. So I haven't looked at it recently, but I think I have like 170,000 or 180,000 people that follow me on Twitter. If I go onto Twitter and I say, "Hey, everybody, I wrote a new book. You know, please consider my book." How many books will I sell? Almost none, because it's ephemeral. When you post something on social media, it's like throwing a message in a bottle into the ocean. You know, it's not something you can really activate. Now, your audience, what's an audience? So now you've got this content out there and you've got it in this specific place. And like you, maybe it's a podcast or maybe it's a blog. And in a virtual way, the people who subscribe to your blog or podcast or video series, in a virtual way, they're raising their hand saying, "I believe in you. I want to learn more about you and what you do." And it's okay for you to send me communications, even market to me occasionally, because I want to learn about you. So if I write on my blog, "Hey, everybody, I wrote a new book. Check it out." How many books will I sell? A lot. Because that is an actionable audience. Now, the ultimate audience is a community, right? So social media, weak relational links. Your audience, content-based audience, strong relational links. Community, ultimate relational links. Because in your community, you've got people, you know, collaborating and co-creating and, you know, and helping each other. And it's more than an emotional connection. It's a bond. And so that's really, that kind of leads into what my new book is about, is I believe This is the ultimate marketing strategy that's being overlooked by almost every company on earth. And it's perhaps the biggest overlooked opportunity in the history of overlooked opportunities, because it's, you know, marketing just doesn't work like it used to. Companies everywhere are desperate for a new idea, a new path. And community isn't new, but looking at it through the lens of brand marketing is entirely new and, you know, almost unseen by most companies.
Powerful. So and it's mind blowing, because you mentioned it with all the ads. Everybody's got an ad on their hat or their t-shirt, except for my simple black tee. I guess neither of us are wearing an ad right now. We're humans, and humans buy from humans and sell to humans who want to interact with humans. I like how you mentioned bond. So if you don't mind, can we walk through those four? And then once we get to the audience and the community, we'll go really deep on that point, because that is what the new book's about. But Mark, I want to give you two options here. We can either do a direct case study from a client or company you've studied, or we can do a for instance, and you can kind of be my coach and we can walk through just a random example. Would you rather do a random example and figure it out together, or use a specific case study?
I've got a great case study.
Please.
Actually, and it really ties everything together very, very beautifully, I think. So, this new book really sprang from a chapter in a book I wrote called Marketing Rebellion. And this was something I was working on in 2018. Marketing Rebellion is a wake-up call to say, hey, marketing doesn't work like it used to. We need alternative ideas. So I was looking for these ideas. And in 2018, I met this woman. Her name's Dana Malstaff. And I was looking right into the face of the future of marketing. And I mean, she is visionary.
Yeah.
And in my new book, this is my 10th book, I did something I've never done in any other book. I devoted an entire chapter to one person, and that's Dana. Now, so let's go through this process. Dana was really unknown. She was an entrepreneur in Ohio. She was running a pretty good business, and then she got pregnant, and she was torn between really going for it as an entrepreneur and really being totally involved and committed as a mother. And she said, I want to do both. I don't want to sacrifice on either front. And she didn't really see she didn't have a lot of support. Okay. Now, so this gets into step one. What's Dana going to be known for? What is her sustainable interest? Dana is an expert in marketing and selling and entrepreneurism, right? But what she, and she's great at that. That's her passion. That's her strength. But what she wanted to be known for is nurturing people, helping people create this life where they can be a mother and they can be a entrepreneur. Yeah. So she created this idea called Boss Mom. Hmm. And she started a blog about it. And people in her Facebook group got interested in it, in this. And she blogged consistently. And more people said, yes, yes, you know, we need to do this. We need the support. So she wrote a book. And the book took off, and people got more interested in the book. And people in this, and then this community, this audience started to build within Facebook. So we start to see these ideas come together. One, she was very specific about what she wanted to be known for. Right. Number two, she had a very specific idea of where she wanted to show up. Facebook. Because Facebook is organic to her mom entrepreneurs who had this emotion building with her. Content. She started to blog consistently every week, every week, every week, every week. That builds this audience. That turned into a book and speaking. I address that in my known book on personal branding to say that a book or speaking can like give a jetpack to your personal brand. So she was very consistent. Then finally, how did she activate this community? The momentum on Facebook became so big. She said, I'm going to create my own Facebook group called Boss Mom. She brought her audience from her content into a community. And now her community is her business. It's not just community-based marketing. In the first 9 months that she created this community, she had a six-figure income. She's now, you know, about $1 million a year in revenue. And she's got 70,000 people in her Facebook group. And her business has doubled every year. Wow. Her revenue has doubled every year. And here's the most important part. She has no salespeople. She has no marketing person. She has no marketing budget. It's the ultimate marketing without any marketing. Because if you have community, then you have this momentum, you have this bond, and people will buy whatever you've got going on because they love you and they support you. And Dana was very specific to say, you know, I can sell. If I need to sell, I can sell, but I don't have to.
Not required.
Because she can create a book, a video, a course, a workshop, coaching, an event, and it'll sell out because she's got 70,000 people supporting her. And this happened in a relatively short period of time.
70,000. What an incredible testimonial to Dana. And you mentioned it. It's in your book, Belonging to the Brand. The whole book's obviously in the show notes so people can dive deeper. I want to address a concern because a lot of my listeners are very active on LinkedIn. Some are podcasters, some are podcast guests. All of them are thought leaders in their own right. They're experts at what they do. What about people that are thinking, well, I see these communities popping up. It seems like there's so many of them. Is there room for me? Have you heard that concern? Is there room for me? Is there enough space?
Well, it's a good question. So first, let me answer it a couple of different ways because it's a very deep question, almost a philosophical question. Mm. So number one of the reasons I wrote this book is because this idea of loneliness and isolation and depression is in the news every day. It's just unmissable. And it wasn't something that was created by the pandemic. It's been something that's been creeping into our society for decades, but it was certainly amplified by the pandemic. And so in this world where we spend all this time online, we're sort of lulled into thinking that we're connected, but we're really not. Mm-hmm. From a societal perspective, spending time online is kind of like empty social calories. We really need to belong to a community. So I think one of the greatest mega trends of our time is mental health. So the first part of the answer to your question is there room for me? Is that we have a world right now that is really whacked out. I mean, they're just so lonely and disassociated, and they're longing to belong. So that's point number one. Now, point number two. Creating a community is really no different than starting a blog or having a podcast. You are fighting for attention. They can spend time in your community or they can watch Star Wars, right? So, I mean, it's just like everything, you know, playing Fortnite competes with time in a community.
Right.
So you've got to create something where people, it would be a good reason to gather. And the way to think about this is, one of the mistakes that people make, Ben, is they start with their point of market differentiation. So it could be, whatever. We have the best customer service, or we have the biggest selection of deli meats. That's great. People need to know that. But that's not a reason to gather. A reason to gather is when you have a purpose in your organization. And when I say organization, I mean, it's not just a business. It could be a university, it could be a nonprofit, it could be a hospital, whatever. Do you have a purpose that intersects with the purpose of people in your world who believe in you and are interested in you? Is there a purpose that people would want to gather to change something, to learn something, to move something along, to become better at something, to be entertained in some new way? And, you know, a great example, I think, is Patagonia. Patagonia is, they're a retail company, and they've got to hit their quarterly sales goals, and they have really cool products, but that's not the purpose that brings people, that attracts people to them. I have a friend, he lives in Colorado. He's a very, he's an outdoors person. Mm-hmm. He said, I only buy Patagonia, and he spends a lot of money on it because it's not cheap. Patagonia is not cheap. Primary. Because I believe so deeply, I am their community. Because I believe so deeply in what they do. And so it's the purpose that stands behind this. So I spent a lot of time in my book talking about, how do you identify, where this intersection between, what do you want to do for the world? How do you want to show up in the world? And how could you do that better if you've got customers right beside you doing that too? Then the last thing I'll say very quickly, because I'm having long answers here.
I like long answers. I hope people are taking notes in the show notes or bullet point some of these.
But the third thing is, to answer your question, is there a place for me? Every community I studied, even the largest communities, started with 5 people or 10 people. Mm. There's a case study in the book about, there's a guy in Bournemouth, England. He has a traditional B2B marketing agency. And he started having lunch with these people every month. And the lunch group kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he said, well, let's have an event. Let's have a meeting. Let's go online. And now this community is bigger than his business. Hmm. Nobody even really knows what his business is anymore. This community has become his business. It's driving more revenue than his marketing agency. And it started with 6 people who went to lunch together. So small communities, big communities. And it doesn't have to be a big commitment. It doesn't have to be a permanent thing. You find people who might have that intersection with you. It could be people who listen to your podcast that you know just love your show. Could be someone who reads your blog, who's always writing you notes. Man, I love this blog post. That can be the beginning of a community. And you say, hey, would you be interested in getting together in a LinkedIn group or a Facebook group or Discord or Slack or something like that? And then see where it goes. And if it works, then people in this group will say, you know, I have a friend who would be really interested in this.
Right.
Can I bring this friend in? And then it starts to grow. So is there room for everybody? I think there is. I don't see any reason, any obstacle that anybody would stop somebody from trying this.
Yeah, we're our own obstacle. We might have the potential. We don't know until we go out and try. And it, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't need a community of 70,000 people to create a tremendous impact on this earth and the well-being of the people around us. It might start with 6 or 7, like you said, it might end up at 70, or I'd love to see 700, but not building a community seems like a poor decision in itself. I want to address a second concern, because the first was kind of like, I'm already a thought leader, I'm a business owner, I'm energetic, I want to build a community, should I? What about someone who already works for an organization who's listening to this? They aren't the business owner. Maybe they're in business development. Maybe they are in leadership. But the organization kicks butt, but they don't have a community. How does that person who's part of an organization kind of pitch this idea to the higher ups without sounding like a maniac? Oh, I'm going to create this community based on peace and love, and we're all going to connect on Discord. Like, said incorrectly, it probably won't go over well, right? So how do I pitch this to my boss?
Okay. So, I mean, you are asking the best questions, Ben. You really are. Because there's no easy answer to any of the questions that you pose. But it starts with this. Every community success has to start with the culture of the company, this culture of the business. And so, and who owns the culture of the business? It's the person at the top. Mm. Person who owns the budget and the strategy, they own the culture. Your marketing is your culture. So if you have a culture that is really excited about trying new things and really customer-centric, you're not going to have any problem convincing anybody of this. Mm. If you're a company that's very legalistic, that's afraid to say anything without getting approval from 3 lawyers, it's not going to work. And you can't change that. The only person that can change that would be the CEO or the president of the company, because that's who owns the culture. The person at the top is the only person in the company that can say, legal team, get out of the way. Right. We're going to try something new here. Right. Now, so that's number one, super important point. There's no such thing as a grassroots cultural change. It has to be sponsored at the top. And you've got to have that culture in place to support the community. Number two, how do you convince your boss? Here's what I find. We are in a world that is changing so fast. And every business leader knows their marketing doesn't work like they used to, like it used to, right? We're in a streaming economy. Mm. If you're still using ads, I mean, I watch more TV than I've ever watched in my life. I never see ads unless maybe it's a live sporting event, like a football game, right? I don't see ads because at the end of the day, I'm exhausted and I just want to stream a movie or stream a show on Netflix. I don't see ads.
Mark, a tiny asterisk is ads work, but you need a tremendous marketing budget to get them to work. So unless
always be a place for ads.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so ads, you know, newspaper ads, radio ads, TV ads, they're all going away. So where are people going? Digital. That means the cost of digital is going up. So that's less accessible. A lot of the traditional marketing techniques are going away. And so if you've got a leader of your company who's a bright leader, a great leader, they're going to want to know everything they could do to get some edge in the world. Here's the easiest way to convince a boss to consider community. Give them a copy of my book. That is the case study. I don't believe anybody can read that book. It's such a compelling case study, such a compelling business case to say, I can't imagine anybody saying, this doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense. And you get an idea of why it makes sense now, exactly now. There are examples in that book of B2B, B2C, nonprofits, big companies. There's an example of a woman in the book that's a stay-at-home mom with 5 kids that has a group of 50,000, you know, community of 50,000 people. The smallest community in the book is 30 people. It drove $40 million of revenue wow. for a real estate company in Jacksonville.
Wow.
So there's something in this book, I think, that can connect with everybody. And I just can't imagine a smart business leader reading that book and saying, nah. And if the business leader says nah, then you don't have the culture to do it anyway. It's a gift. but I mean, I think in this fast changing world, you know, where every business is fighting for an edge, this is an opportunity because almost nobody is doing this.
Powerful. It is a gift. And I'm going to tell you this with love. When I was reading the book, Mark, I was almost like bored with how obvious it felt to me. And I'm a marketer, so it's in my life. Yeah. And I say this with love. It was almost excruciatingly obvious and logical. And then the question, again, another philosophical question, is why the hell is everyone not doing this? And the book was very much a very simple template. Very simple template.
It's an easy answer. It's an easy answer. And as a marketer, you know this too. Because what I'm proposing in this book is that you look at community as a brand marketing initiative. And you can't really measure that well. So community isn't new. But 70% of the communities out there are focused on customer self-service, transactions. Why? Because it's easy to measure. It keeps the accounting department happy. If someone has a problem with their software, you say, oh, go into our community. We've got people there that will, they'll help you. And that avoids the time calling a customer service person. That's easy to measure. Brand marketing. You know, how do you measure benefits like trust, like loyalty, like advocacy?
Difficult.
Like, you know, collaboration, co-creation, getting first party data from the people in your community. How do you put a dollar to that? It's almost impossible. And the case study I use in the book is Gatorade, right? Gatorade has 80% of a $30 billion sports drink market. Unbelievable dominance. They charge twice as much for their product than the distant number two, which is Powerade. Gatorade, their marketing is almost entirely like sponsoring big events, sponsoring the Super Bowl, sponsoring stadiums. And you know, you've got the Gatorade bath at the end of the game where they sneak up on the coach and they pour the Gatorade over their head. I'll tell you something funny. We recently had the college football playoffs. One of the games, it was unusual. It was actually sponsored by Powerade. At the end of the game, they're sneaking up on the coach with this big vat. It says Powerade right on the vat. Here's what the announcer said. Okay. Here comes the Gatorade bath.
I felt that coming.
It's iconic. Now, Gatorade is being relevant in cultural moments. They're not worried about coupons. They're not worried about end of aisle displays. I mean, they do some of that, but their primary focus is being relevant in the sports culture. Right. The Gatorade bath, this tradition, does that sell more Gatorade? Yes. Can you measure it? No. And that's why people haven't done this because it's being controlled by the accounting department. Unbelievably, only 30% of all brand communities report to marketing. Blows my mind. Where else can it be? This is like the number one interface, the number one customer experience for your company. And you've got it reporting to what? Accounting? It's got to be reporting to marketing.
Sure.
End of story. And so I just think there's first of all, a lot of early communities failed because they were trying to sell stuff. And so there's some baggage, I think, with community. There's baggage with community because it's seen as a customer service thing. But what I'm trying to provide here is a fresh new perspective, a fresh new opportunity, a fresh new marketing channel. I believe it's the ultimate marketing channel. I mean, just think of the Dana example, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's marketing without marketing. Dana, her business is doubling every year. She will never have to worry about SEO. Never. She'll never have to worry about branded content. Right. She'll never have to worry about ChatGPT taking her job. She'll never have to worry about her TV ads and media buying, right? The community is everything. It's the ultimate emotional connection to the brand. You belong to the brand.
You belong to the brand. I love marketing. What did you say? Marketing?
Community is the ultimate. It's marketing without marketing.
Without marketing. That was what you said. Marketing without marketing. And what popped in my head is how I'm more into transformation than I am transaction. But if you really want to get to the bottom of it, transformation creates transactions. Like,
yeah,
this drives revenue.
I might steal that.
Please do. For example, there's leadership speakers or motivational speakers. I'm like, you're not a motivational speaker. You're a transformational speaker. And this isn't to motivate people to feel good. This is actually to create transformation in people's lives. And on the back end, they spend money. If they can't, that's okay, because they're a cheerleader for you.
Right.
They'll spend money, or people they know will spend money with you because of the transformation you brought into their lives. So you're helping me connect some dots here.
Observation, and it's something we haven't really touched on, but I do want to make this point.
Please.
That I think chapter one of my book is the most depressing chapter in the history of business books. But at the end of chapter one, I say, okay, we got that over with. Now, let's be positive and change the world together. And the thing that is important about community that you are hinting at here is this transformational aspect, not just in marketing and not just of leaders, but of individual people. There's transformation that happens because community heals. I went into very deep rabbit holes of psychology and sociology. And what I learned, Ben, and I shared this in the book, when you really understand the psychology and sociology of community and how this can bond people to an organization, it is so profound. It is so overwhelming. Yeah. It like changed my whole worldview, really, of marketing. And I think it'll change a lot of people's view who read this book, because people really aren't thinking about it that way. And I'm not being Pollyannish here. I'm not saying, hey, everybody, go start a community and change the world. I'm saying is this is an incredible overlooked business opportunity that's here and now. This is a business book. This is a marketing book. However, this is also marketing that heals.
Yeah.
This is the only kind of marketing your customers will love and pursue and invite other people to participate in it. I mean, how can you dream of something better than that for your company? And at the same time, being heard in a community, being seen in a community, belonging to a community, making new friends, it changes people's lives. Right. So yes, this is like you said, I love the way you said it. It's an obvious, boring business case. It's so obvious. And you can't believe people are overlooking this. But guess what? You're also doing something good for the world here. It's something we can be proud of. You know, I end the book with this challenge. What would it be like to create the most belonging company in your industry? What if you were the most belonging university, the most belonging church, the most belonging podcast, the most belonging, name it, symphony orchestra? Isn't that captivating? Yeah. Wouldn't you be like really proud every day to say we help people belong better than any podcast in the world? We help people belong better than any symphony orchestra in the world, or any university, or any hospital. How could you not lose having a marketing strategy like that?
I'm imagining like the mission statement on the wall, the motivational photos, and people like to point at their mission statement. This is more just come and join us, you'll see.
Right.
You don't have to talk about it. Just join us. Come in free for a month. Come in, just be part of my community, you'll see. You're living what you preach. It's not a mission statement or a motivational photo on the wall. It sounds like it's just a way of operating your business and a culture at its finest. I'm at a loss of words, Mark. This is fun.
Well, that's a big problem for a podcast host.
Well, I wanted to ask one more tangible question that we'll keep short and sweet, because then I want to go into the rapid fire round to close. But we tackled a lot here. And I always say, you know, it's a combination. So take a few things you've learned and start implementing. But if you were to, someone were to pull out their pencil, here, I'll pull mine out. If I were to pull up my pencil and write down just one thing to get started, where should I start? What is my absolute first move that I can get started while we speak right now? Possibly. You tell me what should be the very first move.
I think the very first move with everything I've talked about today is to reflect on your business, reflect on yourself, and think about how you can be more human. Think about everything you're doing as a business and in your marketing. And if you're doing things that people hate, stop it. And you know what people hate, because you would hate it too, right? So don't spam people.
Yeah.
Don't do lead nurturing, which just means we're going to keep bothering you till you block us. Don't do robocalls and all this stuff that we somehow call marketing. Put down your algorithms for a minute and just say, how can we show up in a way that people would love? How do we show our heart and our passion and our compassion and our love and our generosity? How do we show up in everything we do, in every email, in every message, in every complaint, in every meeting? How do we show up as the most human company? Start there. And I think eventually, if that becomes part of your culture, I think that'll naturally lead to community.
Amen to that. We'll do a part two on lead nurturing and how to get blocked, but that's for a whole nother conversation. So I like to close out with a rapid fire round.
I'm terrible at rapid fire. I'm a slow thinker. Don't do this. All right. Go ahead. I'll do my best.
This is what we'll do. We do a couple easy softball either ors, and then I'll lay a big one and we can take our time. And
all right.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Favorite animal, cats, dogs, or fill in the blank?
Otters.
Otters. You said you're in Tennessee, correct?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
We have otters in our lake.
So tell me more about otters. I feel like I just grazed over that. Why otters?
Well, I mean, they're just full of joy. I mean, they're just, everything they do seems playful. You know, they just kind of live with abandon. Around here, otters can actually be kind of destructive sometimes, but they're so lovable. They're a disruptor, but they're so lovable. You just let them do it.
The 11th book from Mark's going to be Why Otters Are Disruptors, How to Bring More Joy Into Your Business.
Why you otter be in business.
Love it. Slightly bigger one. So we started with the bio. You've accomplished a lot of things. Possibly one day there's a feature film and you're a character in a movie. Mark's a character in a movie. He's a futurist. He's accomplished a trillion different things. Who do you think you get to choose? Who would you want to be cast as the role to play Mark Schaefer?
It would probably be someone like Tom Hanks, you know. I mean, someone who's just kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't have a lot of baggage, just wants, you know, it's someone that you'd want to, you know, have a beer with. You know, someone, I think Tom Hanks is really famous, but I don't think he's like a super intimidating person. No. So I think someone who's friendly and accessible would be a good person to play me.
I'll give Tom a call and
Tell him I said hi.
I'll tell him that you said hi, join your community. But jokes aside, one final question. What is your biggest goal right now? What are you working on? How can we support you? If I were to support you, what's a goal that I can support you with?
You know what reminds me, Ben, is I think when after Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, everybody wanted to know, you know, like what's next. And he said, just let me enjoy this for a minute. And when I write a book, it takes everything out of me. I mean, psychologically and even physically. I mean, I write a book, and as you know, there's no fluff in these books. There's an idea, an inspiration, something valuable on every single page. I don't even have like blurbs in the front, you know? Oh, you know, this is a 5-star book. Who cares? Who cares? Let's just get to the point. I don't want to waste time on that. There's no fluff, zero. And so right now I believe in this book. I think there's something important here. And my job right now is to get these ideas out into the world. I got to interview Tom Peters recently, and Tom 2 years ago told me he retired, and then he comes out with a new book. And I said, Tom, I thought you were retired. Why do you have a new book out? And he said, I'm desperate to get my ideas into the world. Mm. And that's where I am. I mean, this is a big idea. Every book I write is really a big, new, meaningful idea. And I don't want to do all this work and have it gather dust on a shelf someplace. I want to be with people like you who say, this is such a big idea. Why aren't more people doing this? This is such a big idea. These are ideas that are actionable and practical that I can use. And I'm enthused and excited and energized by the idea that it can actually help people and help, you know, get us over some of these mental health issues in our world. So when I have a conversation like this with you, to me, that's fantastic, and it's validating, and it shows that the ideas are working. In terms of helping, is just, you know, you're helping a lot, I think, by helping to get the ideas out. What really means a lot is reviews. If people read the book and they leave a review on Amazon, you're helping tell the world, these ideas make a difference. This meant something to me. I think this will mean something to you. And that's really what sells books and helps me get the ideas out into the world. So right now, for the next few months, I'm just desperate to get these ideas out into the world. And I think I'm not thinking too far ahead right now because I got a big job ahead of me.
Cool.
Making sure that this book, you know, lands in the world in the right way.
Love it. So that's a call to action for everybody. Start a conversation that can be from reading the book and telling a friend, that can be telling someone about this conversation, sharing it with them, that can be leaving a review on this podcast, referring to Mark, even better, going to the book and leaving a review for Mark. But start a conversation.
On Amazon or Goodreads or something like that, yeah.
And that'll be in the show notes. I love that the book is no fluff. For some reason, this came to mind. A mentor of mine, Brad Lee, wrote a book, The Hard Way, and the intro is, this book is dedicated to me for writing it and for you for reading it.
Yeah. I can see that for sure.
And I want to say that this episode is dedicated to us for putting it on and you for listening. Go start a conversation. Support Mark. All the info is below in the description. I do encourage you to read a book, but don't just read it. Share it, whether it's sharing love with the review to a friend, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. I think everyone gets the point. And I really appreciate you taking the time, Mark. It's been
thanks, Ben. It's been an honor, and thanks for being so well prepared with so many amazing questions.
Thanks, man. All I did is ask like 4 or 5 questions, and you just gave us an entire freaking template on how we can do it ourselves. So I'm blessed for having you, and we'll do it again.
Yeah, thank you, Ben.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.
Last year, I did 250 interviews, and I got to say, my interview with Ben is definitely right now, I'm thinking, in my top 3. Ben was so well prepared. He asked me questions I had never been asked before, and I really loved that. It was an amazing discussion, and it's a great experience being on his show.